In this episode, we are talking to one of my clients, Angela Henderson, about her podcasting journey as the host of Business and Life Conversations.
Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey.
Hey, hello, and welcome back to another episode. I'm your host, Lyndall Harris, and I am the founder of Podcast VA, where we make the podcasting journey easier by offering a variety of support services. You can find out more about how we could make your podcast journey easier by heading over to my website, podcastva.com. Now, on to my guest today is one of my clients, Angela Henderson. Angela is an international award-winning business coach for women, international speaker, and podcaster. Founder of the highly successful online store, Finley & Me, Ange taps into decades worth of knowledge of how to grow a thriving enterprise and pours it into her business consulting clients. Her skills were honed at the helm of Finley & Me, where she learned everything from branding, PR, sales funnels, email marketing, website, copy, SEO, and more. She knows what it takes to truly have a strong brand, consistent sales, steady growth, and overall dedication. Now, Ange is the host of the podcast Business and Life Conversations. We actually recorded this episode quite a while back due to the fact that season two were all solo shows and the extended break before season three. It took a little while to come to light. But I'm really excited to bring this episode to you today ahead of Ange's 100th episode being released tomorrow. And I want to say a huge congratulations to Angela on that milestone, because it's no mean feat to pump out 100 episodes week on week. And Ange has had her fair share of personal ups and downs through that time. And one thing that never wavered was her commitment to releasing a podcast every single week. It's been fantastic to be a part of that journey since the beginning when she launched back in June 2018, and I'm really excited to have her on the show to have a chat to her about her podcasting journey and a bit of a case study as to how it has worked for her in her business. So let's jump into this fantastic episode and hear from Ange herself. Welcome to the show, Ange.
Thanks so much, my friend. It is good to be here.
Oh, it is. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a little while, and you are a long-term client of mine. You are a friend, and going back to the client thing, you are actually my most organized client. Like, you are a queen, so it is awesome to talk to you. Let's start today asking you, can you tell us a little bit about your podcast and why you started one?
So my business is called the Business and Life Conversations Podcast, with obviously me, Angela Henderson. And it really is around helping entrepreneurs and small business owners be able to get nugget-sized, podcast episodes to be able to help move them on their journey. Not everyone can afford coaching or programs or things like that. So I wanted to be able to provide a way and an avenue for those people that are still kind of in that infancy stage and needing some support and some guidance to get the guidance and support they need, whether or not they're listening to it at their computer or in the car. That was one reason why. And then I also wanted to know, well, I do know, is that it's a long-term strategy for the overall business, and that not only is it to build your credibility, your authority, but equally the connections you make. And I'm a firm believer that your network equals your net worth. And so by being able to build these really juicy and healthy ongoing relationships pre and far post the actual podcasts, it has definitely leveraged my business much further than I ever would have expected.
Yeah, it is an amazing tool for that. Had you been thinking about doing it for a little while? Like, what was your impetus to do it? Or did you just sort of hear about it and think, that's what I want to do, and just get straight into it?
You know, it was kind of a bit of a journey, because I'd heard about podcasting, but I also worked full time, have two kids. I was a mental health clinician with the state government, had two kids. And so I was really focusing on, you know, our blog content being, you know, over on our Facebook community, the Australian Business Collaborative, etc. And I just knew that podcasts, the time that it takes to really produce a quality podcast and not just kind of stitch something together. And not to mention that I heard the stats around podcasts is that most podcasts only ever get to episode 7, I believe it is. And it's kind of like one of those things where you're like, okay, well, that's a pretty downing thing. I want to get past 7. So I then attended a podcast conference here in Australia. And I just remembered I was one of the only few that didn't have a podcast. But then by just listening to all the other people, I was like, actually, this is something that I'll make it my 12-year kind of mission to be able to do. And I knew that I wanted to get past those 7 episodes. And so I then found, I knew two things. I knew I wanted to get it past the 7 episodes, but I equally knew that I wasn't going to be able to do it on my own. It was not my zone of genius, and it not something I ever want to know about how to stitch together an intro and an outro and take the ums and oohs out and do show notes and all that. That's not what I wanted to be spending my time. My zone of genius is as a business coach for women, really working with those women on a daily basis to move their businesses. So I then said to myself, well, what's going to be the easiest way to do that? And then that's when I found you, and I paid you 6 months in advance. And I said, no matter what, I would be able to create a podcast that's going to last longer than 7 episodes by like 3 times that. I knew by committing, by paying you and your team in advance, that I could still obviously not do it, but my level of commitment is once it's paid, it will be done. So and that was really what drew the momentum for me to be able to keep going on, was I knew I was contracted for 6 months with you. The payment was already paid and we just rocked and rolled.
Yeah, what a great strategy. I love that you had that in mind to start with, and knew, because there are a lot of podcasts that stop around that 7 or 8 mark. And it is about, I think, how much work goes into it, because we think about, you know, just the recording side of things, but there are all the other little bits and pieces that make it all come together. So as far as brand awareness is concerned, do you consider that your podcast has been successful for you on that side of things?
I think it's definitely leveraged from a brand point of view, my credibility and my authority, because I believe that when I'm pitching to speak at different conferences, when I'm pitching to speak on different podcasts, it's a big leveraging tool. It's a leveraging tool not only for me to get onto things and stages, but it's equally a leveraging tool, you know, for people who want to be on and connect with me too, right? Like, it's not just about me sourcing, people will also try and source me. And I think too, it's about how you then leverage that tool and that podcast, right? Like, people aren't just going to find you. You've got to really take ownership, in my opinion. And, you know, so I used to say, oh, I'm a business coach. But now I'm like, no, actually, screw that. I'm an international award business coach. I'm an international speaker and I'm a podcaster. I used to not say that because I felt like, oh, people are going to think you're a bit wanky. And I'm like, no, own that you're a podcaster. Leverage it in every touch point you can, because people will become intrigued. It's a great conversation starter. And like I said, it just naturally adds to that credibility and authority to you in that space and whatever you're doing.
Yeah, it is great for that. And I think too, if you're speaking, and as you say, if you want to reach out and be guests on other people's shows, then to be able to drive people back to your own podcast, they can hear what you're about. They can hear you speaking. I know a lot of speakers have found a podcast very successful in helping them get speaking engagements. So that's very true. And you have had some amazing guests on your show. Have you found it a really good tool for helping you build those relationships with people that you might not have otherwise been able to reach out to?
Oh, 100%. I actually, just over the weekend, Finley, my son, had a Pokemon tournament here at a shopping center. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude. This is going to kill me. But I was like, okay, but this is what it is. I've got a choice to be in a good mood or a bad mood. I was like, I'll choose to be in a good mood. And I was like, and so I wrote down 20 people that I wanted to get on my podcast. And these people are very, you know, influential people. And I thought, well, what are we going to do? So I wrote down my list of everyone that I wanted to get on. And then what I did was, is I created my spiel. And what I did was, is I was able to say, listen, I'm about to hit my 100th episode over on my podcast, Business and Life Conversations podcast. I've been following you for a while. I love X, Y, and Z about what you do. So I was very specific to them. And it would be really great if, you know, I'd love to have you on as a guest. And of the 20 I pitched, 12 have come back and said yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So again, but I was able to, if I just would have said, oh, I've been following you. Oh, will you write a blog article? Will you do this? You know, I probably wouldn't have had that leverage. But the fact that I've been in this skin now for a lot longer, I'm about to hit that 100th episode. Again, I'm able to leverage that and be proud of that. And because of that, I'm then able to, you know, have the draw card to be able to ask these people this without feeling like I've been following them, but I hadn't built a relationship with them. And anyone who follows me knows all about, you know, build relationships first, do this and that and the other. But in this instance, I didn't need it. It cut that journey a lot shorter and quicker. So I didn't have to almost court them like you would in a dating scenario, right? Like, I was just able to cut out the can I get your number? I was able to cut out the text messages. I was able to cut the dinner dates out and just go straight for the wham, bam, right? So, yeah. So to me, it definitely has been, yeah, I mean, that just happened last weekend. So to get 12 responses back, you know, for, as you know, I batch all of my stuff. And so I'm very far ahead. So I said to them, listen, it's probably will be June, July before this episode gets dropped. And they're like, totally fine. But yeah, 100% able to leverage that.
I think that you touched on a really good point there when you were talking about how you pitched to them as well, because it's really important, I think, for anyone, and I'd love you to give some advice if you could on how you go about pitching, because too often we hear about or we see pitches that come through that are just run of the mill. They probably haven't listened to an episode. They don't really know much about your show, which obviously as a host, you would know that that's just really, really off-putting. Have you got any tips for people who want to reach out to influencers in their industry or guests to their podcast and are feeling a little bit nervous about doing that?
And I know the word authentic gets, you know, kind of thrown around exponentially these days, but I generally think what I see every day is, hi, Angela, we love your podcast, and blah, blah shit about the person that they want to get on. They haven't actually done their yards about me. So, but there's one lady that reached out just recently, and it was her team that produced it very well. She's like, you know, we followed you for a while, had specific things about like Finley and Chloe. So I was like, dude, if you know the extent of my kids' names, you genuinely are interested, or you're appearing to be quite interested. So what I say is, if you're going to pitch, just don't do a stock standard, number one. To take the time to find out something that's unique to them. So, I saw you travel to Ethiopia. How was that for you? Have you settled in? Oh, that's great. I would love to know, do you have an hour to spare to come on my podcast? Like, you're being very specific. Keep it short and sweet too. A lot of people, they don't want to be reading your spiel about what you have to offer. What is it that you can offer their audience? And I always lead with, how can I add value to them? So, you know, hi, I'm Ange. I've been following you. Give something specific about their trip to Ethiopia and just go, I noticed that you talk about X, Y, and Z, and I would love to be able to add value to your audience, and then post that. I would love to be able to share it in my newsletter, over on my Instagram handles, and in my Facebook community of 6,000 business members. So, like, it's all about them. How am I adding value and making their life easier for them versus just these stock standards? So that's what I say. Lead by being human. Lead by being specific and finding something to them, and lead by what you're adding value to the audience.
Yeah, great tips there. Great tips there. And I think that going with the lead by being human is so, it's so easy to do these days with social media. I mean, you can reach out, you can follow people, you can follow them on Instagram or Facebook and LinkedIn, and you can really sort of just start to comment and just start building that relationship even. So by the time you pitch to somebody, they'll recognize the name from social media or something like that too. So you can really do a lot of research now and know those specifics to make it a human interaction, I guess, or a humanized pitch even. So let's move on to talking about numbers and marketing and things like that. So on average, sort of how many downloads do you get per episode, or how many downloads do you have for your podcast?
So the total amount of downloads we have, I was just looking before the episode, is 17,400 downloads, and we are on episode 82, I think. So, you know, it's been a steady growth, the podcast has been, and yeah, it's going little by little. I try not to focus too much on numbers because I'm all about quality versus quantity.
I agree totally. And it's interesting when you think about, if you were standing there over your 82 weeks and you'd spoken to 17,000 people in person, you would be stoked with those numbers. And I agree that the numbers aren't everything. I see a lot of conversations in my Facebook group about, you know, what's successful download numbers and what's it's a long game. You can start off slowly and build and build and build. So I agree with you that I don't think the numbers are everything, but it's interesting to hear different people's numbers and then really sort of putting it into perspective of, if you spoke to those people, if you spoke to that many people in 82 weeks, then you'd be pretty happy with those sort of numbers.
Gosh, 100%. And I also think people forget that if you're going to be starting a podcast, to me, the reality of it is this. Make sure it's, I call it message matching, right? Make sure that whatever your podcast is matching to the offer, All right. Because, you know, a friend of mine also in the podcasting space was, he did a case study the other day. He audited someone's account. And what he found was this person was having about 7,500 downloads a month, which is a great number of downloads. However, had zero leads.
Oh, you're right.
And he was like, well, what's, you know, how is this? And so obviously the friend who was doing the audit actually hadn't been in, like, didn't start the podcast, right? So it's like he's already been doing it for a year. He's getting 7,500 downloads a month. So he's come in to have external eyes. And what does, and he's like, hold on a minute. So once he started to unpack it, what it was, I won't go into the specifics because that's not for the business, but let's just say you are a business that services dogs. So you sell dog food, dog this, whatever. Your podcast is about cats.
Yeah.
Like there's a disconnect. So I think it's equally important too that his numbers are like, most people would look at those numbers and go, oh my God, I'm so jealous. 7,500 downloads a month, da, 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 da. But even those high numbers aren't converting to leads. Whereas for me, I'm getting at least anywhere from 6 to 7 quality leads a month. And they're then going into either a $1,500 package, a $5,000 package, or an almost $10,000 package, right? So I'm still getting qualified leads. So even though my numbers are so much less than what this guy has. So I think it is important that when you're starting your podcast, like you with your podcast, obviously you're producing a high quality podcast to talk about podcasting tips and tricks for other business owners to get their podcast going, and they can do it on their own. But if they do want help, it's leading straight into what you do, right? It makes sense. My business coach leads, my podcast leads straight into my offers. So really think about when you're setting up this podcast, if you're not already doing it, how is that leading into your offers and being congruent versus being discongruent?
And that's why it is so important at the beginning of your journey of really working out your strategy. What is your purpose? How is it going to feed into your business? Because I totally agree with, over the years of working with podcasters, the podcasters who love the whole thing a lot more are the ones that have really thought about how it will funnel into their business. And the 7,500 downloads per month is, yeah, you're right, great numbers, but it's a lot of work for something that's not producing any leads into your business. And so you really then need to calculate all the time that you're putting into it. And so, yeah, that's I haven't heard that story. That's a really amazing example of why you should really sit down and be very clear about your strategy, the messaging, why you're doing the podcast. Obviously, if you're looking at it from a entertainment sort of hobby style podcast, that's different. But if you're doing it as a business alignment, you need to have that messaging quite clear.
Yes.
So with your 82 episodes that are out, which is a great number, what marketing activities do you do for your podcast, and which ones do you find more successful?
See, so we do a pretty holistic and like a combination of different marketing tools in order to see again where the audiences are meeting and being able to leverage those. So the podcast will drop on a Wednesday, and from there, my team will pick it up. They will, one, email, if it's a guest show, they will email to the guests with images and ask them to please make sure that they share over on their socials, tag us, etc. So that's kind of one. Two, I then will share it into my Facebook community, the Australian Business Collaborative of 6,000 plus members, again, giving us that leverage point. Three, we then shared over on our Facebook page, which is also great. We then, five, shared on our Instagram feed. Six, we shared on our Instagram stories. And just recently, over the last 12 weeks, we have started our Pinterest strategy. And that has been a significant bump for us, which is really amazing and very great collectively, not only for the podcast, but for the business. And then we will share it in our newsletter. So there's, you know, all these touch points that we have to make sure that it's, you know, we're leveraging it to our most. There's things there that we could still do better, such as we don't use audiograms for our podcast. We'll be looking at doing those and split testing those. But overall, I do say that we've got a pretty tight marketing, strategy in regards to making sure it gets distributed once it's dropped.
Yeah, that is fantastic because it's so important to market it. And again, there's a lot of people that I see and a lot of podcasters who release their podcast and then don't follow up with the marketing and the ongoing marketing. So if you've got evergreen content, going back and marketing, remarketing that. Mm-hmm. and your Pinterest strategy. We were having a bit of a chat before we hit record, and that has been working really well for you. So in 12 weeks, can you share a little bit about the numbers? Because I know that you're doing your blog posts as well as your podcast posts, but I think it's an area that people are starting to think about for marketing their podcast, and they don't necessarily know a lot about how Pinterest could work for them, but your numbers are quite phenomenal. So if you could just have a little bit of a chat about that, that'd be great.
So yeah, sure, no worries. So obviously Pinterest, when it first started, was all about pinning what your wedding was going to be, what your house was going to be, and what recipes you were going to eat. However, Pinterest has evolved, you know, exponentially in the last, you know, I mean, I don't know, at least 5 years. I mean, it's always been growing, but I'd seen the biggest growth. And what people don't realize is Pinterest is a search engine. So just like Google with search engine optimization, everything, do you know what I mean, it should be optimized, just like you optimize your website to make sure you've got the highest conversion. And so I knew again that Pinterest, one of my main goals this year is to break into the international market. Aussies are not a huge favor, all right, of the Pinterest, but a lot of other international countries are. So what I wanted to do, it was twofold, is I wanted to break into the US market, and I knew Pinterest was going to help me do this. And so I went and hired a Pinterest strategist, and that has been absolutely game changer, because this is the thing, is one piece of content turns into three different pins over on Pinterest. So if I have 100 blog articles, I actually have 300 Pinterest pins. So you're able to repurpose your content a lot quicker. You're able to optimize the content with SEO keywords, and you're able to be seen quicker, which means you're able to get your podcast out there a lot quicker. So I screen shared my data with you before we pressed record on this episode. And in the last 12 weeks, remember, I started at 0 monthly views and 0 followers and 0 click-throughs to my website. We are a brand new Pinterest page. Mm-hmm. And in 12 weeks, we now have 60 followers, 110,000 monthly views. We have 439 saves of our particular pins in the last, and this is all within like the last 30 days. It's really bumped up because everything's starting to kick in now. And we've had 797 click-throughs. So what that means is we've had an increase of 114% in impressions, 149% increase in saves, and 439% increase on link clicks, which means they're clicking on the link, which then is driving them also to the website. All right.
Wow.
So it is, yeah. So again, I can't speak much about it because I still feel it's only a quarter that we've been utilizing it, and it's still in the very early infancy stages. But based on what the data Pinterest says, and then I marry that data up with our Google Analytics, I would say in 12 months, it will probably overtake my Instagram and Facebook efforts. So yes.
Wow. Yeah, those numbers are something else. That's phenomenal, isn't it? And I didn't realize personally that I don't have a lot to do with Pinterest, so I didn't realize that one piece of content becomes three pins. And so, yeah, I think that's really fantastic. And something you touched on there was that your goal this year, and I know this obviously because I follow you and I know you, that is to break into the US market. And you've really used your podcast, or you're using your podcast to really drive that as well, because I know with the Pinterest strategy that you just mentioned, you've also signed up to a podcast booking agency in the US. And I know that you haven't quite started with them yet, or you're in the onboarding stages, but how have you found that process?
Yeah. So again, let me rewind for those listeners who are Aussie that don't know. There's this beautiful thing called the Export Grant. I actually did an entire podcast about the Export Grant. So, you know, reach out and I connect you, because the Export Grant, people get confused because they think that means that you're exporting products out of Australia, but it's actually very different. The Export Grant has been around for, I believe, 25 years now. You can apply for it 8 times in the life expectancy of your business. And what that means is I also reached out to my export grant guy that does my stuff. And I said to him, I want to start my Pinterest strategy. Can I claim this back on the export grant? And 2, I want to break into the US market, and I want to sign this boutique podcast agency. And he said, and I said that all the podcasts I'll be on will be US podcasts. So I will not only be able to claim that back through my quarterly BAS, but I will equally be able to double dip and claim that back through the export grant. So yes, it's costing me 15,000 Australian to sign with a boutique business. But what I get for that is 34 US-based podcasts, all right, in order to leverage not only my own business as a business coach for women, but also to be able to talk about my own podcast, which is then going to link, do you know what I mean, people back to the podcast. But I'm also able to do it in a way financially that, yes, this year will be tough financially with everything that I'm putting out. But when those applications through, I will get half of everything back. Same thing with Pinterest. Is Pinterest, we will take a percentage of those people because Pinterest analytics will allow me to look at the data for each country. And so if there's, if I spend, let's just say $10,000 on a Pinterest strategist, and 80% of those people that are following me on Pinterest and actively using me on Pinterest is all other countries but Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea, I would then be able to claim $8,000 back on the grant versus the whole 10 because we've got to exclude those other countries. So that was, A, I wanted to break into the US market, but I wanted to do it from a strategic point that wasn't going to be too costly to me in the end. And so Pinterest, that was one of the reasons why, all right, is I can claim it. And two, the podcasting agency. So with the podcasting agency, yeah, I'll be on 34 US-based podcasts. I want to be in the US market. They're not all of their fans are going to be yes, or listeners will be yes. But the reality of it is again, breaking in the US international market collectively, do you know what I mean, is going to be a lot easier. And I'll be able to leverage my own podcast on the back end of all those episodes.
Yep. And I'm guessing that once you've been on 34 that they've helped you arrange, you'll also be able to then reach out to other US podcasters and with a bit more, not confidence, but a bit ease, maybe a little bit more easily because you've already been on 34 US-based podcasts. So, yeah, fantastic. And for anybody who doesn't know about that export grant, then absolutely reach out and find out who the specialist is because there's a lot of fantastic information you can get about that, which I only have just sort of heard the top of. So I think that there's if you're looking to break your podcast into the US market, then maybe that's worth finding out about.
100%.
So moving on from, you definitely have a marketing machine behind your podcast, which is fantastic. Do you actually monetize your podcast either through sponsorships or through your own business activities?
See, so obviously I don't do paid sponsorship as in having other businesses on the podcast as of yet. It's something I'm happy to look at because I was one of Australia's leading parenting bloggers back in the day. I was signed with Netflix, Woolworths, Coles, and a variety of other brands. So I'm very familiar with the whole influencer marketing, you know, et cetera. But yeah, it just hasn't been the right fit for me. However, I do now do probably since episode 50 or so, once I do my intro, what it's about, I will say that this episode is sponsored by my whatever it is I'm doing. So whether or not it's my 4-day, 3-night women in business retreat, or whether or not it's my 12-month group coaching program, whatever it is, I will use that as a leverage point. And again, my whole thing is people, I'm in someone else's ears. It might, my cost to work with me is a higher ticket item. So the journey to conversion is going to be much longer. So again, my whole scenario that I go off is conversations equal conversions. So through the podcast, I'm able to have conversations every single week with hundreds of people that then are going to lead to conversion. So by having that sponsorship spot for my own stuff, I'm still increasing my branding, my authority, my credibility, and seeding it about what I can offer those listeners.
I have so many conversations with people that are quite hung up, I guess this might not be the right way to say it, but they really want to get a return on investment and they want to monetize their podcast. And I think sometimes we overthink it and think that we've got to go and pitch to a sponsorship or to somebody to partner with. But really, the easiest way to monetize your podcast is to, particularly if it's a business podcast, is to promote your own business or your own show. And I know when I started off with saying, you know, this show is brought to you by Podcast VA. And yeah, it's easy to weave that in. And I think if you do that from the beginning too, people have an expectation that they're going to hear that from you. So even if you do move to a more formal arrangement down the track, they're not going to be so shocked to hear a sponsorship message in there. So there are different ways to do that. And I know that you do that and you do it really well. So
I also want to touch upon, I know there's a lot of podcasters who don't want to do that because, oh my, audience won't think I'm authentic. I'm like, get over yourself. This is my whole scenario. I'm like, if I'm spending an hour of my time with someone and producing quality content that is going to help other businesses out there, it's actually to me a dis service to myself, to the guests, and to everyone else by not leveraging my podcast for that. Because as a business consultant working with women in business, I'm actually then teaching them the opposite. Mm. I'm then saying, actually, no, don't do that. That's a little bit yuck. No, own it. You produce it. You put the time in. So just utilize your space. And the other thing that you can do too is if you have affiliates that you're utilizing, create a resource page or an affiliate specific page and drive them to your website. So you can say, this episode is sponsored by, like, I use a platform called 10X Pro. 10X Pro does X, Y, and Z. If you'd like to know, learn more about how 10X Pro could help you do X, Y, and Z, head to, you know, mine would be angelahenderson.com.au and click on resources. So even if you're, you know, you could be a blogger out there, but you've got affiliates with others, but you could still, even though it's not a formal sponsorship agreement, you still can make money because you're driving them back to your website, which means you're getting them to your ecosystem, which then means that, again, you could also make some money on the side of that, which is going to help you to keep going with the podcast. So, you know, create a resource page or an affiliate page and guide them back to your site.
Yeah, that's great advice. And there's so many different ways to monetize your podcast. I have done a previous episode on that and touched on some 10 different ways that you can monetize it. And in future episodes, we will go into more detail about some of those as well. But even, as you say, the affiliate page, and it is a lot of work to put a podcast together. You've got your time researching and preparing. You've got your time to record, then your post-production time and your marketing time. And why wouldn't you spend, even if it's 30 seconds, just saying it's brought to you by this, so that if people are interested in finding out more. So absolutely agree with you there. Please, if you're doing a business podcast, just throw it in there, because people are not going to be offended. They're going to be thankful that they're still listening to your podcast, learning stuff, and they will not tune in because you've put that in there.
100%.
So going on to, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you are my most organized client. You are batched so far in advance. I would love for you to share with people how you really, you've got, a lot of people come into the podcasting game and think, oh, a weekly podcast is a lot of work and it's going to be ongoing and, oh my gosh, the schedule's just going to be really grueling. Can you share with the listeners how you stay on top of your podcasting schedule?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest for me is just because of my time constraints with family and then international travel and speaking events, etc., that it has to be batched. And again, I started off doing one by one at the very, I batched a little bit at the beginning and then I went to one to one, and it was an absolute freaking nightmare for me in the way my brain works and the way my life is. So I typically go, it's kind of like sprints, is I will have 4 weeks where I'm doing sprints. And what I mean by that is there's typically like 3 bookings on a Friday at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. and a 1 p.m. I like to give an hour time just in case we talk too much. And then, and then they're just all bulk batched. And what I found is once I batched so many, I'm always ahead of the game. So like right now at time of recording for this, it's February 6th. And what will happen is I think when we were talking earlier on, I'm batch recorded till May 2nd or something like that. So, and then I've got 10 more people already in the bank to record. So I'm almost always 10 to 12 weeks ahead. The tricky part is, though, is when I did that at the beginning, I didn't take into consideration my promotional rhythm, all right? Meaning, when was I going to be running a 5-day challenge? When was I going to be running a webinar? When was my retreat? So now, kind of around that 50-episode mark again, when I became a little bit more astute to what was going on, I now then look at my spreadsheet that I have, and I just block out times in red. I might not record right at that stage, but I know that that's what my promotional rhythm is with what's coming up, and I'll fill that particular spot with an episode geared towards whatever it is that my funnel's going to be.
That is great advice. Really being aware of what you've got coming up. Batching is something I talk about in other episodes. I've talked about it. I know for me personally too, I've gone through stages where I don't have any batched and I do have them batched. And gosh, it just feels so much better when you're batched and ahead and you're organized and you're not having to think about sort of chasing your tail. And that whole being aware of what you've got coming up in the year or however far in advance that you're going to batch is so true, because if I'm batching through and then I'm promoting something older, then that's not going to work. And I think you could keep in mind too, if that is the case, do your recordings. You can always record your promo piece and go and slot that in if you haven't edited it all too far in advance. So that is very good advice there. So I know we're nearly at the stage of needing to wrap up, but I've got a couple of questions. I do want to ask you, what is your favorite thing about podcasting?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite thing about business collectively is, yeah, the human to human. So to me, it's the connectiveness, it's the relationships. And from that, so many magical things have happened. So by far, even if my business finished tomorrow and I no longer wanted to be a business coach, I still have these lifelong friendships and relationships that to me is, you know, people aren't going to show up at your funeral and go, oh, yay, you know, and produce 9 million something such podcasts. No, they're going to show up because you had a relationship. So yes.
Yep, absolutely. And what do you wish you'd known when you started?
Listen, I will kind of toot my horn, is outsource, right? But I knew that going in, like seriously, just get someone to get it going. It will make your life easier. But what do I know what I wish I would have done slightly different though, is I probably wish I would have strategically planned, not a lot, but a few more bigger names on the podcast to gain some more momentum is what I would have wished for. So again, I was glad that I had everything batched and we got it and it was 26 weeks. But looking back at some of the people who are launching now and some of my friends who have kind of was able to leverage really that momentum of being in Apple, you know, slots and things like that, is I probably should have leveraged other people's audiences and therefore had guests on that had those audiences for me to piggyback off of at the beginning for launch.
Mm-hmm. And that is a good strategy. And I certainly know when you launched, I'm pretty sure Apple Podcast charts and you were noteworthy and the whole thing had fallen over and broken too. So
yes. So yes, I felt like, yeah, I look at other people launching and I'm like, damn you, but it's like you just work with what's presented and go like that. But I definitely think for those podcasts that are coming out now that you need to really be leveraging that because you could really gain some serious momentum right from the kick-go. And it just was at the time, you know, almost 100 episodes earlier that we didn't have that leverage point, but now definitely leverage it.
Yeah, I can see from being in the podcasting sort of world for 4 years, I can definitely see the difference as someone who podcasted 3 years ago when it was a quieter space to someone who launched when Apple sort of wasn't working so well and then it's starting to sort of build again now. So there is that sort of strategy to think about. And last but not least, my last question, what's your best general tip about podcasting?
Best general tip about, again, it goes back to relationships. You need to nurture them before, you need to nurture them during. So again, really great information about what they need to do. You need to nurture them on the podcast. You need to nurture them post the podcast. And you need to nurture them. Do you know what I mean? Like it's an ongoing, it's not just a one here and one there. And those podcasts that I've appeared on as guests, those people that do that really well, it just solidifies your entire relationship. But if you just get a guest on and you only like, yeah, I got the guest on as a tick, you're treating them, like I said, as a transaction, really. To me, I don't look at things as transactions. So to me, my biggest tip would be, again, is nurture from, yeah, even before they're a guest and all the way through.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great tip. And it's something that you do very, very well. I know that you talk a lot about the human connection, human to human marketing, and you are one of the best when it comes to your touch points with you. I've done some of Angela's courses, I've done retreats, and Angela, you absolutely put so much emphasis on that human to human and the relationship building. So you definitely, that was a great tip to put there. Now, can you share with the listeners where the best place is that they can go to find out about you, or if you've got any products or services that you offer?
So yeah, so best place is just go to my website, angelahenderson.com.au. And then from there, you can pick and choose where you're at in business and how I could help you most. So it could be reading my weekly blog. Obviously, I'd love for you to listen to the podcast, Business and Life Conversations podcast. And then obviously, we've got other tools that are paid tools. So if you do want to work with me one-to-one, you can find out the information there, or my mastermind or my group coaching programs. But really, it's just about building that connection. So I'd just love in any way just to stay connected with the listeners. And to me, it's not just about the transaction. It's just about people are people. So go to the website, find out what works best for you and what platform works best to stay connected. And then let's just rock and roll from there.
Yeah, fantastic. And I do encourage you to go and connect with Ange, because she's got an amazing, if you're a Facebook user, obviously, she has got an amazing Facebook group called the Australian Business Collaborative. And when I actually named my Facebook group, I reached out to Ange because I was like, I'm finding the hard to get the right words and everything. Are you okay if I name mine similarly? And she was like, yeah, go for it. And it can be a bit confusing at times.
Yeah, so no, at the beginning I was like, is that notification for me? Nope, that's one for Linda. And I was like, okay. And so, I
hadn't really thought about that. But anyway, I do really jump into Ange's Facebook group if you're on Facebook. Head over and link with her on Instagram. Go and check out what she's doing on Pinterest. She's got lots of information to share. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, my friend. Have an awesome day.
You too. See ya.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe in your podcatcher so you don't miss an episode. And whilst you're there, I'd love it if you'd leave me a rating and review to help other podcasters.